Now, to the internet's credit, I will say that the answers that came after the follow-ons, the reposts, were generally encouraging, talking about how life can always get better, and various different things were brought forth. But every time that they were brought forth, the answer that she gave was, "I've tried that," or "I've done that." The one thing I found very interesting was nowhere in there had someone taken a time to share Christ for the situation, to bring hope to a situation of worthlessness by explaining the purpose that her life had. In fact, if you were here for Bible study this morning, we were talking about Genesis and the fact that God created with purpose and diligence. Therefore, we know that each of us who are created have purpose in our lives, that we aren't utterly worthless, that we don't do the same thing day in and day out if we follow God's will. I wish I would have seen this post years ago when it was actually being posted. The last active post was from 2015. And that one was about 6 months after, and there had been no response. I don't know what ever came of this woman. I don't know her age. I don't know her circumstances, only what she gave in this letter. But what I do know is that the one true bringer of hope, Jesus Christ, wasn't introduced to her in that moment. What I do know is the one thing that could have helped her maybe understand that she's not worthless or that she can do things with purpose and meaning each and every day of her life was missed. Because nobody answered the door when God knocked on it and provided it for it. And so today's sermon is titled, "Are You Able to Answer the Door?" Have you set yourself up with enough margin in your life, enough ability to answer the door when God knocks on it? To be his arms, to be his legs, to be his lips, his heart in a situation. Are you capable of doing that? Several weeks ago, it's almost been 2 months that we started this whole concept about our DNA. We started with living a life of worship because we explored in the first sermon that started the series that we are designed to worship God. That is our purpose, our first and foremost, our largest purpose here on earth is to glorify God, to worship him so that the rest of the world, those who are around us, see his greatness through the life that we live. And so our purpose is to glorify God first and foremost, nothing else. But in today's world, it's so easy to have that sidetracked, and we're going to read from Revelations chapter 3. If you would, please stand with me as we engage Scripture and we hear Jesus' words in Revelations. It reads, "And to the angel of the church, the Laodicea," man, my lips are just not working after yesterday. I'm still dried out from sitting out in the sun all afternoon. "To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans writes, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. And so then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have nothing or need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anointed your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we hear your words, and we ask that you help us examine our hearts, that we be prepared to hear you knock at the door and be prepared to open it, that we may dine with you, that we may be with you and you within us. Lord God, open our hearts that we may hear your wisdom today, that we may be strengthened and emboldened to follow out and do your love in the world around us through the sharing of your scripture, the telling of your gospel, and the continuation of the miracles and ministries that you did. Lord, change our hearts, renew our minds. Let us pursue our purpose fully and completely. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. See, in order to be able to answer the question, are you able to answer the door when God knocks, is you have to know where your priorities lie. That becomes an important question to answer because in today's world, we're given many, many different things that we're asked to be responsible for, to take on. And so we have to return to understanding that our purpose is what sets our priorities in our lives. If we don't understand our purpose clearly, then we don't have a drive that moves us through life. It doesn't give us an ability to answer those questions. Is this important or is this not? When we don't understand who we are, what we're about, and what we're to do, then we come into the question of letting everybody else define that for us. See, that was the problem that the church that Jesus is speaking to was having was as they had become so well endowed as a church. They'd become rich. They had been able to take care of themselves. In fact, in 62 AD, their church was burned down, and they were able to, instead of having to go out and help or get help from other churches in the area, be able to take care of it and rebuild it themselves. They had become able to be their own church, but in the process of becoming that, they took on those purposes of becoming rich and becoming their own thing instead of taking the purpose of glorifying God in all that they did. They were taking up the purpose of raising their pride instead of glorifying God. Their purpose had been confused, and so their priorities had become out of whack to the point where God said, you know, I could deal with you if you were cold, if you were non-believers, if you just didn't believe the message. That'd be fine. I understand that. God deals with those people all the time who either haven't heard or have heard the message and just refuse to accept it. Or if they were hot and on fire for Christ, because that's what the Christian is called, right? Be reverent in your faith. To pursue God with all your being. To be totally surrendered and given to Christ. To be hot for Jesus Christ. To be on fire, right? We hear that all the time, those terminologies. I'm on fire for Jesus Christ. Christ has set my heart on fire. See, and God says, and I could deal with you if you were that. But you're not. You're worse than that. You're cold. You're lukewarm. You've accepted Jesus Christ, but yet you have no fire in your life. And so you're not cold. You're just kind of sitting there. I'm going to give you an illustration. Anyone ever take a bar of butter and try to use it right out of the refrigerator? Yeah, real hot, you know, all of us have done that, right? I need butter. And you put it in super hard and you can't use it. So what do? You set it aside, right? And you let it soften up. You let it become a little bit more so you can utilize it. Now, if you put it in the microwave and you melt it down, you'll put it on your vegetables and your seafood and things like that. But how about, like, if you go to it and it's got just that little bit of, like, moisture on the outside of it and it's kind of melted and sagging? Does anyone really want that butter? Heck no. The stuff that's like, you know, it's kind of like white on the bottom and kind of yellowish in other places because it started to separate and do its thing. No, so this is sort of the example is in this lukewarmness state, in the in-between state, we're not really appealing as a church. What's that look like in our world? Well, God would rather have a bunch of people just come in and socialize. That'd be fine. He'd be okay with that. Or he'd rather have a church that was doing like what we were doing yesterday, out in the community, sharing the gospel, being on fire and trying to expand the kingdom. But a church that just comes into its world or into its walls and feels all good about itself, this sense of like, hey, look at us, we're good, God doesn't like. Because he never purposed us for that. He gave us a sense of understanding that we are to glorify him, to move forward. And in that gives us the ability to set priorities. So we could take the offering, we could paint walls, we could build a bigger building, we could do all sorts of different things with it. Or we can take it and we can help those who are in need. We can buy curriculum that helps understand and grow people's knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can help educate other people and glorify him. We can take it for taking our children to youth groups and things of that nature. We can take things that help put people on fire for Jesus Christ. See, it's all in priorities. We have to be able to set our priorities according to what God tells us if we want to be hot for Christ, if we want to be on fire for Jesus Christ. And so that's where we're going to move today, is if we're going to have a life that we can live generously, we have to be able to set our priorities that we may create the margin in our life to do those things that God has created us and purposed us for. We're going to walk through that a little bit. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 27 and 28. And it reads, Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I want you to underline two sections in there. The will of God in verse 27 and according to his purpose in verse 28 inside your scripture. The will of God and according to his purpose. See, an interesting thing is going on here at this time. He's talking about the glory of God and how we're refreshed in it, but also how the whole world, how the whole creation groans for the return of Jesus Christ, for the return of righteousness, the healing of the brokenness that happens. How he considers suffering in the present time as not being worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us in the end. See, what Paul is teaching us is that the glory that is to come, God's glory in all this, his will, his purpose, should be our priority in life. That should be what we set our standard towards. It's what we find our joy in. In verse 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So in other words, when we prioritize living the life that God wants us to live, as Jesus has commanded us to live, we don't have condemnation, but yet we have joy, happiness, hope, glory that is passed on towards us. The whole concept comes down to the fact that when we prioritize our lives in the right way, we can find strength. And in that strength and being able to control our lives by those priorities, those things that really matter, then we can create the margin in our lives to do that what God has called us to do outside of just existing and glorifying him, but to go out and to share his love in those things. I've got a pretty commonly used situation about talking about this situation or about this instance. Everybody's seen it, right? Rock, sand, it's all going to go together. But here's how it works. If we aren't careful and we don't set our priorities well, and we get confused about things, yeah, I'm not fitting any more in, so I still have some of my big priorities, some of my big rocks, some of those big things that are happening in life sitting out here. In fact, I've got, what, six of them. So six big things in my life, six things that are going to cause me pain, angst, anxiety, depression, failure, are still sitting outside of the whole thing. It's pretty messed up, isn't it? I gotta do this carefully so I don't break glass. I couldn't find plastic. What am I doing? Let's get that in the right spot. I got my priorities mixed up for a moment. But when we're wise about things and we take our big rocks, our faith, our love for Christ, our prayer life, our servitude to God in all that we do, not just in church, but all throughout life, how we act as a good servant, as a faithful servant, as a glorifier of God. And we put all those rocks in our family, our wives, husbands, spouses, children, parents, right? We're called to honor our parents throughout life, not just while we're kids. Our friendships, sharing the gospel, all these various things that God calls us towards. And we get all of our big things taken care of. We prioritize and we make this. And then we start worrying about the little stuff. I even have enough for a cup of coffee left in there. See, when we do our priorities, when we put our lives in the right place, when we concentrate on what God calls us to fulfill the purpose that he has created with, and we get that all put taken care of, then all the other stuff fits in. It's not a big deal. And we still have room for a whole lot. I could take that glass, I could fill it with water and pour that in there for once, for sure, maybe even a second time. And that glass of water would fit in there. I first saw this as an illustration for you always have time to share a cup of coffee with someone. You always have time when you do the right thing, when you put your priorities in place and you put the big things up front and that's what you focus on and you run everything through that filter of glorifying God and being committed to Jesus Christ as that main rock that you set in there, our faith, our foundational understanding of who we are and the purpose that we're given. And then we start putting everything else on top of that. All these other little things that come in, every little speck of sand that's in there, every little grain and every little piece of small rock that fits in with it falls into place, no problem. But the problem is all too often we get bent about all the little stuff and we let that be what we contend all of our material on and all of our resources and everything that we put into time and effort into the little stuff. And we get so sidetracked by that by the time we actually get to the things that we have to do, those things that are so big that they are core to our existence, our very creation, our very purpose in life, we can't get it into the jar. And then we wonder why we feel empty and we don't feel like we have life inside of us, because the thing that gives us life, the thing that gives us purpose, the thing that makes us feel good and gives us reason to live is sitting outside of our jar. And we find ourselves writing a letter to a bunch of people we don't know, crying out for help, saying, my life is utterly worthless. But the joy is our life doesn't have to be that way. We know what our purpose is. We know it's to glorify God. Yesterday when you were out helping with the picnic, did it not feel good? It was hard work. It was hot yesterday. It started with the mosquitoes being really thick when we got started sitting up, and then we lost the mosquitoes and gained humidity and sun. If anyone wants to see what that looks like and Brian's up to it, see the top of his head. Love you, brother. It was hot. It was hard. But I saw smiles on faces. I saw people interacting with the community. I saw people laughing and joking and eating and sharing relationship and community with people that they may have never met before. I know people got to sit there and share their faith with some other people. I know I got to share the gospel with some people who are very much in need because I know the kids and I know their life. And there isn't a whole lot of hope in it for them outside of Christ. See, when we put our priorities in place, now did we all have things that could have happened yesterday? Oh yeah, by all means. By all means, we all have other things that go on, and sometimes we have to make other things happen. But the thing is that filters in when we put priorities in other places too. You know, just because you weren't there yesterday doesn't mean that God's not a priority in your life. Maybe you're sharing at work every day. Maybe you're going out and helping with other ministries. Maybe you were here this morning teaching our youth or our students or our kids, or you were sitting in a Bible study, right? There are lots of different ways that this manifests itself. It's not to sit there and say because you weren't there yesterday, you weren't putting it as a priority. It's to put Christ as a priority in your life first and foremost, to put the gospel as a priority in your life, because the gospel is the saving grace of Jesus Christ from the cross that we may be redeemed and remade. That is our hope. That is our joy. That is what gives us purpose in life is to go out and share that. And no matter how hard life gets, when that is our purpose, when that's our primary understanding, when that's our priority in life, is to live a life that God has called us to live, we carry a smile on our face and we have joy in our hearts even during the difficult times, because we know the answer. We know that we have a God who loves us to the point of death on a cross so that we won't have to suffer that. We know that we have a God who loves us enough that he has created the world and us within it that we may thrive within it. And he calls us to do that through following, loving, and sharing his love. See, when we get our priorities mixed up, we end up pursuing other things that don't make us happy. Because if you pursue money, no matter how much you have, it's never enough. If you pursue someone else's acceptance of you, you may never receive it. But when Christ is your priority, when you look towards him, you see good and faithful son, daughter, child, who I died on the cross so that you may know me and I may know you. And that's the only answer that he gives over and over, no matter where we are in life, how difficult life is, or how stressed out we are, or how unworthy we do feel, we get the same answer from God as I loved you enough to go to the cross. And the funny thing is I still love you that much today. See, when we put our priorities in the right place, life falls together and we can handle it. It fits inside our jar and we're not overtaxed. We have that space. We have that opening to continue to share and love and let stuff in. I could probably shake this, move this around and get more space if I needed to over and over and over again. And the funny thing is I could probably do it for quite a long time before I finally got so full I couldn't take anything else into this. Our lives are the same way. If our priorities are the right way, we may feel stressed. We may feel a little rushed here or there. But the fact is we have the peace of God with us in that process, and it's not overwhelming. It doesn't take away our understanding. And when we put Jesus Christ as our priority and sharing the gospel and going out and continuing to do the ministry that he calls us to do with the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit, then those day in and day out activities that we had in this first letter, let me pull that up, where she says, I do the same thing day in and day out, no longer becomes the same thing that you do day in and day out, because guess what? Each and every time you do that, it's a different answer. It's a different experience. It's a different relationship. It's a new experience. And while you may share the gospel multiple times in a day, it's never the same thing. The words you use, the receipt that you get from it. See, when we put our priorities, when we go and we do God's work, we may do ministry each and every day of our lives, but each and every day we're doing it in different ways. And so we find that there is no same thing day in and day out. And the beautiful thing is as you have a priority of serving others as Christ served the church, you don't end up with a life of no friends. Because you're constantly in relationship. You're constantly related to people in church. That's why I said this is what the church is when we saw everybody come around, Dave and Jamie, to pray for them. You think they'll ever have a day in their life that they're alone? No matter how hard the situation gets. Many of us have experienced that in our lives, that even though we've gone through the darkest and hardest times in our lives, we've never turned around and seen ourselves alone. Granted, some people may just be along for the ride because there's nothing to be said or done. They're just simply there to show you that you're not alone, but they're always there. And so we don't find ourselves in a place where we have no friends. We don't find ourselves in a place where we don't feel like we have a family. Because while there is the bloodline family that we all talk about, that is flesh and blood, in Christ we are united as brothers and sisters in him. And our family stretches. I'm proud to say I have family, even though my family, my bloodline family is pretty small. I have family all across this United States through Jesus Christ. People that if I call up will sit and spend time talking to me. And her last thing, I don't have anything that would even wow someone. I'm not trying to impress anybody, nor should you, because we have a God who is constantly saying, wow, look at what you are. If we remain with the priority of Jesus Christ in our life and understanding our purpose, we never have to have that question about Is my life worth being here? Is it a gift or a curse? Because we know it's a gift. We know it's a gift each and every day that we wake up and that we breathe, that we have God in our lives, that it's a gift from God. We never question whether our life means something because we're fulfilling a purpose that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the seen and the unseen, has purposed us for, has created us specifically for. See, we don't have any of these questions in our lives. Now, we may doubt every once in a while. We may come into a place where we feel like we're a little confused about it, but we never, in our once existence of Jesus or with Jesus Christ, come to a place where we feel like we aren't worth something in Him. See, when we understand our purpose, we can set our priorities. When we have our priorities, we create margin in our lives because we understand what's important and what's not, what we can push aside and say it's not important, and what we can concentrate on when it comes out in front of us. One of the greatest pleasures of being a pastor that I used to have a hard time before I was a pastor just because of life was when people were in need to be able to set some administrative thing aside and just sit there and say it doesn't matter and go and help the person. Because I know none of you will ever fault me when I don't have a bulletin insert done, or I didn't get a slide quite perfect enough. When I sit there and you come up and sit there and say, hey, Pastor, where was the bulletin insert? Well, you know, this week there was a family who was in need. They had a fire and I was out doing this. Any of you are going to fault me for it? No. It's the beauty of my profession is that's what's expected of us, is to put the people first, to go and share God's love in those situations. See, because God's priority in my life is to go do that, I don't feel any shame in having to set that other stuff aside, even though I know it needs to get done. But the fact is I always have time and space for it because I know what my priorities are. I know what God's purposed me for, and therefore I can follow those things and make those the important things of my life. And I feel joy each and every day because of it. My prayer is that each and every one of you can reach that point if you're not already there. To understand what God has purposed you for, to glorify Him in some way, shape, or form that helps you understand how to set your priorities in life, to have that 1, 2, 3, 4, that list of what needs to get done and what doesn't need to get done, so that you can create that margin in your life that you always have that time for that cup of coffee with a friend or the ability to help someone when they come to your door. Our priorities being set properly allows for setting margin in our lives. And so understanding our purpose and setting our priorities based off of it allow us to create the margin in our life so that we may live generously with good cause. Not scattered, not useless, not unworthy, but with God's love. Because when we live that life, then we are truly living the life that Christ has called us to live. When we create that opportunity inside our lives through setting our priorities and making sure that our purposes are understood, the amount of help, the amount of love, the amount of grace that we can share with those around us multiplies tenfold. As you see, if we don't do it right, we let the little stuff overwhelm us and we keep on forgetting that it's just the little stuff, then we won't be able to handle the big stuff. But if we take care of the big stuff and then we let the little stuff filter in as it comes and remember it's little and we just deal with it as that, it's little, we will always have time to make sure that we have time to help others. Church, we want to be a church that reaches out and helps people. We want to be a church that is truly on fire, not lukewarm. We don't want Jesus Christ to look at us and sit there and say, listen, I would rather spit you out, I'd rather vomit you out of my mouth than to continue this relationship. We want to be the church that's hot, that's on fire for Jesus Christ. But we must set our priorities. We must know what our purpose is each and every day so that we're able to answer the knock when He knocks on the door, that we can accept Him into ourselves and dine with Him as He dines with us. We must be diligent and mindful to ensure that we have time to do that. Because if we're so busy handling all the little stuff and we've lost our priorities, when He knocks on the door, we may not be home to answer. We may be otherwise engaged in places that really don't need our time and attention and aren't there to glorify God. And I know this changes lives. I know this makes your life look different. I know that it causes sacrifice and having to say no to certain things that maybe for your life you've enjoyed. But the purpose of it is to glorify God. And in that, finding your purpose and happiness, your joy, and your worth in this life. There's nothing outside of serving God that will make you feel better. And so I challenge you as you leave today to examine your purpose. What has God called you to be, to do? And let him speak into that, that you may know the priorities that are important to him in this day and age, in your life, as you go through it day in and day out, so that you may truly thrive in the life that God has blessed you with and feel your worthiness, feel your purpose, and know that you are loved and created by a God who has not created you for nothing, but for everything in his mind. Amen.